All right, again, my name is Steve Elzinga. This is the coaching class. I keep saying this, but you have to practice what you learn. You can listen, you can understand it, it can seem easy, but you really need to go out and try it in your everyday conversations. I had a staff meeting this morning at my church, and I did some of these coaching kinds of things. There was some issues with certain families and marriages and so on. And my associate was meeting with them, and he was trying to help them and advise them. And I mentioned, well, you know, you can advise the people you're trying to help, but often when it doesn't work, then they come back and they blame you. And a lot of times things don't work at first. Or you're trying to hold them accountable, and then they don't do anything, and then every time they see you, they feel bad, and they end up blaming you. And so a lot of these coaching techniques where, you know, I'm just trying to help you succeed. I'm trying to help you help yourself. So if this doesn't work, it's not the coach's fault. If it doesn't work, it's because you didn't do it. So ultimately, I'm just here to help you. So you have to keep practicing that, because, you know, my instincts are always to give advice. Like right now, I'm teaching, right? I'm telling you what to do. And that's what's normal for all of us. We grow up in a world where, you know, we start out as children, our parents teach us, we go to school, or we get taught, you're at Christian Leaders Institute, you're being taught. That's the model that we've grown up with. You don't go to a class and the teacher says, so what do you want to learn, or what do you want to do? It's up to you. No, I'm here to, you're supposed to help me. But in coaching, you're assuming that the person ultimately is just struggling with doing what they ultimately want to do. Or they don't really know what they ultimately want to do. They're confused by the many options, and you're trying to help them just get through all the noise of life to figure out what they want to do, figure out a goal, figure out a plan, and then hold them accountable to do that. So we've been in the decision. We're at decision part two, looking at commitment, committing to some kind of goal. Remember the three things coaches do. They help a client figure out what they want to do. That's the decision. That's what we're still in. Two, help client figure out how to do what they want to do. That's the plan. Help client do what they plan to do, management. So it's these three. I keep bringing these with each session, because you have to know these without thinking about it. Okay? You have to know that there's just three words. It's decision, plan, management. Help the client make a decision about what they want to do, help them come up with a plan, and then help them manage the plan. Decision, plan, management. Okay, we're in still number one, help client figure out what they want to do, the decision. Remember, there's three basic model categories. There's brainstorm, you know, how to figure out, how to look at all areas of life to figure out what area they need to change or do something in. Then prioritize. That's what we talked about in the last session. How do you, you know, brainstorming, you have a whole list of things, a whole group of possibilities of things you could do. You can't do all of them. So you need to prioritize. Well, which one should we work on first, and second or third? Then finally, after you've prioritized, well, we should do this one first or this one second. You need to make a commitment to actually do something about them. And that's what we're looking at in this session. Third category is commitment to action items. And again, the easiest way is to simply say, well, okay, you know, which one of these five things do you want to do? And they pick. I want to work on the marriage goal first. Okay, great. You want to work on the marriage goal first. What do you want to accomplish this week? You could just say it that way, very simply. And they could say, well, I'm going to work on this. So why do we need to think about commitment? I mean, they say what they want to do. You say, okay, give me the exact thing that you want to do for next week. And why shouldn't we just leave it there? The problem is commitment and commitment expectations. So I want to give you some commitment models. These are models that will help your client figure out what kind of commitment they're actually making. Because the kind of commitment a person makes to an action goal makes a difference. So number one, this is a way of making a commitment. I call it the toe in the water versus all in. Okay, I live on a lake. And I live in Michigan, and Michigan, we have winter, snow, and the lake freezes over. And so the lake is warm in the summer, and it's frozen in the winter. And then there's everything in between. And in the spring, the water is still very cold, and then you have a few hot days. You don't know how cold the water really is. So you could just jump in. Okay? That's the all-in. You just run to the end of the dock and you just leap in and you have no idea how cold it's going to be until you're in the water. And I personally like to get in the water that way. I like to just be all in. Because if I put my toe in the water and I test it, I go, wow, that's really cold. And now I don't really want to jump in. So So this is an analogy. It's like, okay, the client wants to do something, but how badly does he want to do it? Do you want to just jump in and who knows what's going to happen? I mean, you're all in? Or this week, in terms of this goal, are you just going to put your toe in? You're just going to try it out. You're just going to test the waters to see if this is the right direction you really want to go. See, those are two totally different commitments. And it's good for the client to know which one that he is doing when he makes a commitment to the goal that you finally made a priority to do. Number two, there's blind faith versus throwing mud on the wall and see what sticks. Okay, that's throwing mud on the wall is a phrase that people use in the business world here in the U.S. anyway. I don't even know where it comes from, but the idea is you're throwing mud on some wall, and if mud has clay in it, it will stick to the wall. And if it doesn't or it's too wet, it starts sliding down the wall. And I guess the goal is to have the mud stick. But you don't know what it's going to take. You don't know what's going to work or what's not going to work. So with this sort of view of commitment, like, okay, I want to start working on this thing in my job. But I'm not exactly sure which thing I should start with or what kind of commitment I should make. Is this a big commitment? Is it all in? I don't know what it is. How passionate am I about it? I just want to try something. I want to throw mud on the wall and see if it sticks. Or I just want to jump in. So it's very similar to the first one, toe in the water versus all in. Okay, limited versus unlimited time. Okay, you can make a commitment to something. I'm going to try to do this with my work. Or I'm going to start studying at Christian Leaders Institute. Okay, well, what kind of commitment is that? I want to take one course and see how it goes. I want to take one lesson and see how it goes. Or, so I'm going to give it 1 hour, I'm going to give it 3 hours, I'm going to give it 10 hours. So when a client makes it, what happens in life is you make a commitment to something, but you haven't really made a time commitment. So then you end up not doing it. So people do this all the time. I'm going to work on finishing my Christian Leaders Institute class this week. Okay, but the person didn't make a time commitment, so the week gets filled with all kinds of things, and they spend one half an hour. And then the next week you meet with your coach. Well, how did it go? Well, I got like a half a lesson done. And they're disappointed about it. And they feel like they didn't succeed. But in part, they didn't succeed because they didn't make a commitment of time in the first place. They didn't think, okay, really, realistically, how much time can I give this thing in this next week? So helping your client, pick, what do you want? Is it a 1 hour thing? Is it a 2 hour thing? How much of a commitment are you going to make? Number four, private versus public commitment. Okay, the client is saying, I want to do this. And now, as a coach, I'm saying, well, is this, do you want to make this a private commitment? You know, something that only you and I know about this? Or are you going to go home and tell your wife about it? Are you going to tell your boss about it? Are you going to tell, you know, people that are involved in the area that you want to change? Are you going to tell them about it? So let's say their commitment is to, you know, get in shape and lose weight. Is this a private thing? You're going to work on this next week, but it's just between the coach and the client. Or are you going to tell someone else? So of course, you know, telling other people helps people stick with their commitment, but maybe that's not what they want to do. It's up to them again. You don't tell them which is best. You leave it to them. But bringing this up helps them, again, think about what kind of commitment they're making. Number five, committed to trying versus committed to winning. Okay? You know, there's a lot of things in life where I'm just committed to trying. I'm going to try it. I don't know. I'm just going to try it and see how it goes. I'm going to try a new sport. I'm going to try a class. Am I going to finish the class? I don't know. Okay, that's one kind of commitment. And then another kind is I'm committed to winning. And, you know, I just got done with a pickleball tournament last weekend. And you're in a competitive game. If you don't know what pickleball is, you can Google it. But you're in this competitive, I was playing singles. And, you know, the first game I got destroyed. And it's like, I got to figure this out. Because I was committed to winning. I'm going to win this. I'm going to practice, you know. So which way is it? I'm not saying that one is bad and one is good. Again, you're just putting the model out to the person. There's just trying, and there's committed to winning. Which one of these are you sort of leaning towards with your commitment this week in terms of an action step? Committed to making a plan of action as a first step? Okay, so maybe the person isn't ready to make a commitment to any sort of action at all, but they're committed to making a plan. That's really the next thing that we're going to be looking at. Okay, I just want to explain a little bit about the nature of commitment and why it's important to get a client to make a commitment to the goals that they come up with. Number one, commitment is a step of faith. Commitment is a step of faith. When you commit to something, you don't know how it's going to turn out. Some 40 years ago, I made a commitment to a young girl who became my wife. I said, I do. I made a bunch of vows in front of her, in front of her family, in front of my family, and in front of our friends, in front of God, in front of the church. I said, I do to something I didn't know what it would be. I'm committing to some future thing. I'm not sure how it's going to go. Right now, we're getting along. We like each other. But I don't know how it's going to go in the future. I don't know what challenges are going to come our way. It's a commitment. It's a step of faith. I don't know how it's going to go. Number two, commitment is built on prior commitments in the past. So it's interesting, when I do pre-marriage counseling, young people want to get married, and then they come to me, and you know, I get to know them a little bit, but eventually I usually ask them this, or I make a statement, then I ask them a question. And the statement is, at least in the United States where I'm living, it seems like about 45% of marriages end in divorce. So these are people that make a commitment to be together, and then, you know, they go back on it. So I asked the young couple that's wanting to get married, I said, okay, what makes you think that you're not part of that 45% that gets married and then later gets a divorce? And they usually say things like, well, you know, we just love each other, and, you know, we stay up all night talking, and we like being together, we like doing the same things. And I always say, well, you know, that's what I hear all the time. Everyone that gets married would say the same thing. That's why they want to get married. Yeah, but we work through our problems. If we have issues and struggles, we sit down and we talk about these things. We always work it out. I said, okay, yeah, everyone does that. Everyone that wants to get married will say the same thing. And yet 45% of them are still wrong about that. That isn't enough to hold them together. So what makes you think you're not going to be part of that 45% that says one thing, but then turns out going the other direction? And a lot of times a couple will and then say, well, I guess you can't know. I guess you just can't know. And then I say, well, when, you know, 40 years ago when I got married, I knew. I knew that I would not be a part of that 45%. And they said, well, how's that possible? I said, because of the commitment I made when I said I do. I didn't know that before I said I do, but I knew it afterwards. And here's why. Because when I said I do, I based that I do not just on how I feel today, not just on the fact that we enjoy each other and we can get along, we stay up all night talking, and when we have a problem, we work it out. Because I don't know if that will always be true. I don't know what will change in our future. My commitment to saying I do is based on something else, a prior commitment. My I do is before God. In other words, I rest my I do on the I do that I made to God. See, that's a stronger commitment. I have to go back on my commitment to God to undo my commitment to you. Now, is that possible? I guess it is. But at least I'm resting my promise on the strongest thing in my life. So in our country, at least in the past, when you would go to court and the court, you know, you have to go into the box and the judge wants to know if you're going to tell the truth. And so you had to raise your right hand and you had to swear the truth, tell the truth. But often you had to put your left hand on the Bible. So you got one hand on the Bible, you got one hand raised up, and you swear to tell the truth. So help you God. So it's like we were trying to pack as many prior commitments into this as we could. You would think, okay, you're in a court. Are you going to tell the truth? Well, you better tell the truth. If you don't tell the truth and you get caught, you could go to jail. But see, that's not good enough. We want to know if you're really going to tell the truth. Well, how are we going to know if you're really going to tell the truth? Well, let's build a promise, a commitment to tell the truth based on your other commitments, stronger commitments. Yeah, that's what's going on there. So commitment is a step of faith, but it's also a commitment that's built on past commitments. Number three, commitment begins. So anyway, the commitment is built on a prior commitment. That's the past. Commitment begins, number three, with the first step. That's the present. Okay, so you're trying to get your client moving towards commitment, but what happens is people make commitments, all kinds of things, and they don't follow through. So you get your client to make a commitment, but he doesn't do anything. And next week you meet and you say, what happened? Well, you know, I had all these other things happen and I didn't do anything. And after 2-3 weeks of that, your client won't want to meet with you. He won't want to meet with you because all you represent to him is failure. Every time I see you, I feel bad because I didn't do the thing that I said I would do. So that's why you have to spend some time with this commitment thing. You want this commitment rested on something solid. So commitment begins with the first step. Commitment continues with the next step, which is the future. So you want to build your commitment on prior commitments, and then you want to keep adding commitment upon a commitment upon commitment, and then the client is more likely to succeed. Well, how do you strengthen the commitment that they make? There are several ways that you can help a client stick with what they said they want to do. And here's we'll get to the problem in a minute. Number one, write it down. So if you come up with a goal, you just have the person write it down. What are they going to do next week? It's black and white. I have it, you have it. Next week, we don't have to guess at what we're going to talk about. We just haul it out. This is what you made a commitment to do last week. How did it go? Number two, sign it, which is really strange. You may not, you know, I have a commitment to, you know, a specific action-oriented item. I'm going to spend 5 minutes of my day asking my wife what she did. I'm going to do that every day. Okay? So I write it down. Why do I have to sign it? I don't know. There's something about signing that says I'm really going to do it. Again, you're sort of placing your honor. I'm going to do this And it's my honor that's at stake here. Number three, get witnesses. Again, if it's just between, you know, if you make a commitment to do something and you don't tell anybody about it, you don't tell your coach, you're just, you know, you decide, I'm really going to work on this next week. But no one knows if you did or you didn't. You're more likely to set it aside and not actually do it. But if you get other people, you know, I made a commitment to do this, you're letting other people down. It's peer pressure. It's, you know, it's positive peer pressure. That's really what the church is. The church is positive peer pressure so that we end up doing what we really want to do and what we said we wanted to do. Number four, find people to hold you accountable. He said not only the coach, but other people in your life might be helpful in order for you to stick with your commitment. Again, you can come up with all kinds of action ideas of things that you know the client could do. But if they don't do it, it's all going to be an exercise of failure. And people, you know, week after week, if they keep failing, they will quit the coaching connection. Why dealing with commitments is important. The kind of commitment your client makes for a plan of action sets an expectation for two things. Number one, output. Okay, the kind of commitment that a client makes sets an expectations for output, what is going to happen. And the second thing is outcome. So output, you know, what energy I'm going to give this, the time that I'm going to give this, but also the outcome. What are my expectations? If I'm going to do something, I have this thing I'm going to try, but I'm just putting my toe in the water, or I'm just throwing a little mud on the wall to see what sticks, see, my expectations are really low. I have low expectations of my effort, and I have low expectations of the outcome. So when low results come in because of that, I'm not hugely disappointed because I went in with it with lower expectations. If I go in with high expectations, then I have high expectations of the output that it's going to take, the work that it's going to take, the energy, the time, and I have high expectations of the outcome. I want a good result from all this effort or I will be disappointed. So if you don't do this, what happens is people make a commitment, but they're not sure about the expectations. Maybe they have high expectations, but they have low commitment to actually making it happen. Well, that's a recipe for failure. High expectations, but low commitment to making it happen. So you're helping them think about it. What happens is most people don't think about it. They just make this is my goal. This is I'm going to try to do this week, and they don't think about it. And they let their week determine, you know, what happens in their week and the pressure and the commitments and everything going on in their life. They let those things dictate what they're going to do, and then at the end of the week, they're disappointed. And it's all because they weren't sure about their expectations in the whole thing. So helping a client think about what's your expectation in this? You have this goal, how much time you're going to put it, how hard you're going to work at it, and then ultimately what's going to happen. This is probably the most important, why commitment is important, because of the expectations. Okay, we'll see you again next time.